It's a beautiful thing to be able to come together to be a part of the service done in God's name. It's always a privilege and an honor for me to be able to preach God's word.
Amen.
And this morning we're going to continue in the study through James. We want to be in James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. We want to use this as my subject this morning, of faith that lives.
Yeah.
All right, anyone who has studied the Gospels and seen how Jesus taught and interacted with people who he came in contact with, we'll see that he talked quite often about faith. He praised people for their faith. He said that if we had faith as a mustard seed, we could move mountains. He said in Matthew chapter 9, when the woman with the issue of blood was healed, he told her, "Your faith has made you well." This line of teaching on faith continued through the apostles. In Acts chapter 16, verse 31, Paul said, Paul and Silas told the Philippian jailer, "Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved." Paul himself taught in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10, Paul himself said, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once were conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Now, the Apostle Paul had placed a consistent emphasis on the aspect of grace, simply because there are many who are trying to justify themselves through keeping the law. But that in no way means that he contradicts James, who was writing, talking about faith without works is dead. During the early days of the Reformation, Martin Luther took issue with the book of James. He called it an epistle of straw. It was Martin Luther who started the doctrine of justification by faith alone. He says, Paul does say that we are saved by faith, but never does he say faith alone.
Amen.
In these verses, James encourages his readers to have a living faith as opposed to a faith that is dead. Before we really get into the lesson, I want to make sure that we understand that from verses 14 through 26, he is continuing with what he said in the previous two verses, from 12 and 13. In verse number 12, he said, "So speak and do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty." Now, I point that out because it's important to get the proper context of what he's talking about. A lot of people try and make this focus on to new believers and such, but keep in mind, he is speaking to persecuted Christians. Okay? That helps us to make sure that we get the right context. All right. Now, James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. And it reads, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warm and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works, faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God.' You see then that a man is justified by works, and not by faith only. Amen. Likewise, was not Rahab, the harlot, also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead."
Yeah.
All right. Now, everybody can see clearly that what's sitting next to me is a fan. Now, what if I told you that I think it looks like a car? And you would probably tell me I need to get my glasses checked. But what if I told you that I really believe that that is a car? I can imagine that it won't really convince you one way or the other, simply because it's not enough to just say that you believe something. Yeah. Even if I believe with all my heart, and it does me no good to just say that something is true. Just because I'm saying it, it doesn't make it a reality.
Amen.
James said in verse 14, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him?" No, the real acid test for faith, real faith, is not just seen in what words people speak. The true faith is seen when you show love to others.
Amen.
True faith is seen when you obey God's word, even when it's not the most popular thing to do.
Amen.
Remember, James was talking about judgment and judging others from verses 12 and 13. Now, do you think it would be beneficial to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and say, "I had plans to do good works, but I just never got around to it"? No. Will God be okay with us having said that we were Christians, but we were living like devils? Peter said in 1 Peter 4, verse 17, that judgment should begin at the house of God. And if it begins first with us, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God?
Amen.
In verse 15 through 17, James says, "If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed by the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." Now, just before he said this, he said that if you don't show mercy, mercy won't be shown to you.
Amen.
Yet so many people come up with the most elaborate excuses as to why they can't do good things for other people. It's one thing when you don't really have the means of helping somebody in need, but because it's understandable. You know, you can't really save a drowning person if you don't know how to swim yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, and so, but when you have the means to do something for somebody else, and you go out of your way to avoid helping them, what does that really say about you?
Amen.
If you remember the parable about the Good Samaritan, the priest and the Levite, both saw the man who had been attacked and robbed, and they intentionally went around to the other side so that they didn't have to run into him. Mm-hmm. Now, people like that find ways to justify not doing something to help somebody. They'll say, maybe he got into a fight, so it's not my problem. Maybe he just passed out because he's drunk. The thing is that you never really know what a person's situation is until you care enough to ask. When I was driving the bus for the city, I can't tell you the amount of times that I came across people who were sleeping in the bus stop on the ground. And the many times when drunk people wanted to get on the bus, and some drivers just didn't want to help them at all, and they just told them, to, you know, just sleep it off. Sleep out there on the curb or wherever. They didn't care. You know. Now, don't get me wrong. Driving the bus and doing Uber and Lyft has helped me to realize that there are practical precautions that are necessary to take when you are striving to help somebody else. But at the same time, we shouldn't allow the fear of what might go wrong to be a permanent roadblock in every opportunity that comes our way.
Amen.
But that's just in helping other people. James said that if our faith doesn't have works, then it is dead. Can a person truly say they have faith if they never spend any time studying God's word?
Amen.
Can a person truly say they have faith if they aren't doing everything in their power to try and rid their lives of sin?
Yes.
To put it simply, a living faith is a real faith. When you believe something is true, you act on it. The actions we take in this world will reveal what we believe about ourselves, the world, and about God.
Amen.
The question is, what do your actions say about what you truly believe? Not what you say you believe. Are your beliefs healthy? Are they cynical? Do your actions reveal a trust in God greater than a trust in anything else?
Amen.
I really hope that my actions in this world show God and the world that I put my trust in God.
Amen.
James chapter 2, verse 18, he says, but someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You know, I may not be able to look into your heart and see what your faith really is. But see, the thing about actions is they're very hard to mistake.
Yeah.
There's a poem by Edgar A. Guest. It's called, I'd Rather See a Sermon. It goes like this. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely tell the way. The eyes a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but example is always clear. The best of all, the preacher, are the men who live their creeds. For to see good put in action is what everybody needs. I soon can learn to do it if you will let me see it done. I can watch your hands in action, but your tongue too fast may run. And the lecture you deliver may be very wise and true, but I'd rather get my lesson by observing what you do. For I might misunderstand you and the high advice you give, but there's no misunderstanding how you act and how you live. When I see a deed of kindness, I am eager to be kind. When a weaker brother stumbles and a strong man stays behind, just to see if he can help him, then the wish grows strong in me to become as big and thoughtful as I know that friend to be. And all travelers can witness that the best of guides today is not the one who tells them, but the one who shows the way.
Amen.
One good man teaches many. Men believe what they behold. One deed of kindness, notice, is worth 40 that are told. Who stands with men of honor, learns to hold his honor dear. For right living speaks a language which to everyone is clear. Though an able speaker charms me with his eloquence, I say, I'd rather see a sermon than to hear one any day.
Amen.
Actions do speak louder than words.
Amen.
James says in verse 19, you believe that there is one God. You do well. even the demons believe and tremble. Now, demons not only believe, but they also know for a fact that God is real, that Jesus is the Son of God. They know this firsthand. God isn't just looking for people to believe in him. He is trying to encourage and cultivate righteousness in those who are going to spend eternity with him.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people who say that they believe in God. And that's all fine and good. But just saying you believe is meaningless on its own. Mm-hmm. See, even the demons at least tremble knowing what is coming. There are a lot of people who say that they believe and have absolutely no problem choosing to live any way they want to live. God is looking for a change in heart. Isn't that what David said? King David said that you don't glory in sacrifices, but in a broken and contrite heart.
Amen.
James says in verse 20, but do you want to know, O foolish man, what faith, that faith without works is dead. Now, the New American Standard Bible says, but are you willing to acknowledge, you foolish person, that faith without works is useless? See, he goes on to give further proof of what he is saying, using the father of their nation, who is, according to Romans 4:16, also considered the father of those who have faith. He says in verse 21 and 24, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Now, Abraham was declared righteous by God because he believed according to Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. But it wasn't until he offered Isaac that he demonstrated that he really did trust in God completely. It was then that God said in verse 12 of Genesis 22, and he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me.
Amen.
He had already declared him righteous before, but yet it wasn't until he actually did what God had told him that he was, that God was sure that he was truly believing in him.
Amen.
Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works, faith was made perfect, he said in 22. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. In order for faith to be a living faith, a faith that justifies, then it must be accompanied by works. Charles Spurgeon was the one who said that grace does not change, a grace that does not change my life will not save my soul. Another thing is in verse 24 of James 2, is the only place in the entire Bible where you will see the word only come immediately after faith. If you don't believe me, look it up yourself. It is the only place where you will see faith only together. Okay, and here he is saying that it is not by faith only.
Man.
Just a little side note on that. In verse number 25, he says, likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? It's interesting that he chose to use two examples of which one was a Jew and one was a Gentile. And especially when early in the chapter he was talking about not showing partiality to some Jews, which some Jews did with the Gentiles. You notice that was a whole problem with Peter. When he was showing partiality, he would go off and sit with the Jews instead of sitting with the Gentiles. But he uses her as an example because the only reason Rahab helped them was because she believed that their God was truly powerful. Her living faith moved her to hide the spies. It would have done her no good to just sit there, do nothing, but stand there and wait till they invade and then try and say, oh, I believe. That doesn't go over well when you're actually in the moment. You know, and that's how a lot of people are hedging their bets today. They're like, okay, I believe, but you know, we'll wait till Jesus comes. Well, by then it'll be too late. Another thing that is interesting about these two examples that James uses is it shows the full scope of living faith. On one hand, you have Abraham, and it shows that if we believe, we do what God tells us to do. When it comes to Rahab, it shows that if we believe in God, then we will help God's people, even when it costs us something.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
James closes out chapter 2, verse 26, when he says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Notice that he doesn't deny that people have faith. It's just not the kind of faith that will save them.
Amen.
Because without works, faith is dead. Living faith is like a living fruit tree. It will produce fruit at the right time. But when the roots are dead, the tree produces no fruit. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 through 20, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them."
Amen.
The same thing is true for everybody else who serves God. You will know them by their fruits. What do your fruits say about what you truly believe? Is your faith living and active, or is it dead and useless? The good news is that the power is always in your hand to bring your faith to life by asking God, by taking God's word into heart and making it a part of your everyday life. God's word was never meant to just be something that we hold in our heads. It's something that was meant to be lived out. And it's something that is meant to be a part of who we are. God wants us to be a changed people. And, you know, there's an old saying that heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. Question is, are we doing what's necessary to prepare ourselves? Are we really trying to make sure that we are the kind of people that God wants to spend eternity with? The way you live your life will determine what God will do about your eternal state. And so let us make sure that our actions are in line with what Scripture says we should be doing.
Amen.
God has enough mercy and grace to cover us when we fall, when we have our issues. So it's not about, you know, having perfect practice. It's about practicing, making sure you try.
Amen.
You know, do what you can, and God will help you along the way.
Amen.
This morning, whatever your struggles are, God has more than enough power to help you with them. God is not so hard that he is not trying to make sure that you are doing what you can to make it with him, to spend eternity with him. But he is able to help you through all things. That's why we have the Holy Spirit guiding us and helping us through all these things that we deal with here in this world.
Yeah.
Let us be those who take God's word to heart and live it in our everyday lives. This morning, whatever your needs are, let them be known as together we stand and sing the invitation song.
Just as I